I want to again greet you this morning in Jesus' precious name. I had somebody make a comment to me this morning about being nervous up here. And I said, yeah, I get nervous every time when I get here and before I get up here. I was listening to John Bevere here a while back, and John Bevere goes all over the place talking and ministering, and his comment was, I never go up front without being nervous, for the very fact if grace doesn't show up, I'm in trouble. God's enabling power. So this morning, if I'm nervous, I'm okay. I am looking to God to give me what I need for this morning. And it's funny how God can sometimes change your thinking as we're sharing. I call that the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think you find that the same thing in your life as you live for Christ, as you walk with Him, that He ministers to you in different ways depending on the situation where you're at. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. I'm going to spend some time in Corinthians. I'm not sure how much that we will do over the next months or weeks or whatever it is. But this morning I'd like to look at the first 9 verses in 1 Corinthians. The church at Corinth was a very, very wealthy church. I should say the community was a very wealthy community. It was located, as you see on the map up here, Corinth was this tiny, tiny little spot right here. And Paul came there to visit. The city was we're just going to call it a place of very low morals. I had to think of Las Vegas when I thought about Corinth. If you've ever been to Las Vegas and you drove down the strip, you realize that there is a lot of filth in Las Vegas. Excuse me. So I'm not sure what all was going on here, but we do know it was a city that was known for prostitution. There was actually a temple on the south side of the city that you could see from coming in from the sea. And in this temple, they had at least 1,000 girls that were being used during the daytime for slave labor, and at night were being sold as prostitutes. So that was this city. There's a tiny, tiny little crossing right here that's about 4 miles wide. And we would have the ships coming from the top and from the side coming into this port. And the way they made their money, they would take these ships and either they would unload them and carry the cargo to the other side, those 4 miles, 3.5, 4 miles, or they would put them on rollers and they would roll them to the other side. That was how they made a lot of their money. So you ask, why did they not come around and just go around the bottom? This bottom area, according to history, was horrible. There were many ships that went into the rocks along the bottom there. It was a very, very rough sea. And it was also about 200 miles across the bottom. So their decision was, do we go around the bottom, chance it, and go this 200 miles, or do we stop here and take however many days it takes to port across and then we can keep going? So that was part of the Corinthians' income. It was a very, very busy place. So Paul was here for about 3 months, I believe. And he was writing, but he was not writing to unbelievers. He was writing to believers. Let's go to verse 1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. So Paul had a calling. All of us here this morning have some type of a calling on our life. Landon has figured out part of his, what he's supposed to be doing. Maybe it's going to change sometime. But every one of us has a specific calling in our life that we are to, we are to follow in our walk. And those callings can change. So Paul was here ministering to the people here. He was called. He was here through the will of God. We'll talk about Sosthenes another time. I'm not going to talk about him this morning. But another time we'll come back and talk to him. He says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. So I talked to you a little bit about who they were here in the Corinthian people. And we're not talking about the church here. We're talking about the locals. And let's see if I can get this thing to work. Can you take me to the next slide and see if you can get it to function? So when Paul was writing the book of Romans, there are some scholars that say as he was writing, he was describing what was happening in the city of Corinth. And this is what Paul wrote in Romans 1. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And just this giving us the idea of what Corinth actually was like. So this is where Paul was at. This is what he was facing, talking to a Christian people in the middle of all of this. He says in verse 2 there, unto the church which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And you're going to notice there, if you got your Bibles open, it says to be, and that's in italics. That means it was not in the original language. It was added in somewhere along the way. So let's read it without that. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. Are you okay if somebody calls you a saint? It used to be in the Catholic Church, in the Catholic doctrine, if you were a saint, you were dead. We're called saints because we're alive, not dead. As brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are called saints. And it's nothing that we did of ourselves. As a matter of fact, this is what Ephesians says. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So what I have, what you have in being called a saint, is nothing to honor you, but it is to honor God. But yes, we are saints if we are born again believers. Only because of what he has done for us. Verse 4 says, grace be unto you and peace. Verse 3 here, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. I love Paul's attitude. I wrote down it's his attitude of gratitude. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. We talk about grace, we talk about unmerited favor, and we also talk about God's enabling power. I think I mentioned that the last time I preached, or the second, two times ago. God's enabling power in my life to give me strength to be able to walk the Christian walk. Because of myself, I cannot do it. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have been made, can I say, wealthy? We have been made rich spiritually because of who God is. Verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift. Every gift is supplied to us, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. I don't know what that verse means to you, but that means a lot to me. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, holy and without blame before him in love. Again, here he talks about being holy. I want to go back to that word saints for a second. We talked about saints. There's four words that are connected by the same root word in the Hebrew. Those four words are saints, sanctify, holy, and consecrate it. So think about those four words for a bit. How they all tie together with the same root word. So if you're sanctified, you're a saint. Sam's been talking about that. You're a saint. If you're holy, you're a saint. Maybe it's because I'm a saint, I'm holy. I'm not sure there. But we're consecrated. We have been given so much. Given so much. Let's go back to Ephesians 1. I want to finish reading a couple more verses there. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Again, it is for God's glory. It has nothing to do with honoring me. He has blessed us in so many ways. And as I look around me throughout the week, as I'm going through my regular everyday duties, there's many times where I think about how good God is to us. And I look at the believers that are being persecuted. And they're probably saying God is so good to us too, even though they're in the middle of persecution. We have it so good here in America. We just got done celebrating freedom. And I had to wonder a little bit, the freedom that I'm celebrating, we love the freedom of our country and we should. But am I celebrating the freedom that I've been given in my spirit because of what God has done for me? Verse 9 is where I want to stop this morning for a bit. I've titled my message this morning, Fellowship. And as I looked at this word fellowship, let's read verse 9. It says, God is faithful. Actually, we missed verse 8. Let's read that. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He confirms us. He establishes us. He makes us sure. He makes us strong. So we can be blameless. The word blameless there is holy without blame. I can't do that. But he can do it for me. Verse 9, God is faithful. What a beautiful phrase. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So as I began to look at this word fellowship, many of you have heard the Hebrew term here, koinonia. which means really nothing to us because we don't understand it. But it's a Greek word that occurs about 20 times throughout Scripture. Fellowship. Screen back there is far away. Sharing in common, being in agreement with each other, being united in purpose, serving alongside each other. Our koinonia with each other is based on our common koinonia with Jesus Christ, and I want to really bring that home this morning. Fellowship with each other as a body is only going to happen to the depth of where we have fellowship with Christ, spiritually speaking. I wanted to put a picture up here, and I didn't get it, of a bunch of people sitting around a table, and maybe they're eating, but they're just spending time together. They're fellowshipping. That's often how we understand the word fellowship. And I'm not saying that it's too far away from that here. I have to think of fellowship dinner. We talked about that here a while back. We enjoy eating and sitting around, talking, spending time together. Fellowship. It's being in agreement with one another. Being united in purpose. Serving alongside each other. Our koinonia is with each other is based on our common koinonia with Jesus Christ. That brings to question for Lynn, what is your connection with Jesus Christ? Is it Sunday morning coming here and making it look like I love my Savior? Or is it an actual connection throughout the week? There's an old gentleman that comes to work. He's a Gideon, and I don't know, I might have shared this here before, I'm not sure, but he heads out back. We have a spot out back at Yoder's there where the Gideons meet every Saturday morning. And he comes walking through there and he's shuffling. He's an older guy. And I go and I ask him, "How are you this morning?" And if I can remember the words, "I'm doing excellent, but I'm going to be better." Something to that effect. There's joy there because he found something. And it brought him peace. It brings him extreme peace. He's excited. He's not scared of moving on because he has joy deep inside. I'd like to go to Acts chapter 2 for just a bit. You don't have to turn there. I'm not going to spend much time there. But I want to read just a couple of verses out of Acts chapter 2. Let's go back and let's find out what koinonia, what fellowship was like in the early church. Acts 2 verse, we'll begin way at the beginning there. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So they were there together, they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit came, they were filled with the Spirit. There was a lot that happened there." We go on over to verse 42. And this is what happened after all this took place. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," that was what the apostles had been teaching them, "and fellowship," this is the same word, koinonia, "and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods. They parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple." And they, let me read that again, I missed a comma. "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." They had a purpose. They were aiming for something. As we have fellowship as a brotherhood here, I have to wonder, what are we aiming at? What is our purpose? Is our purpose to meet here Sunday morning and to just fellowship here is extremely good. Just fellowship here? Are we coming here and we're growing, we're being encouraged to go out and fellowship with others? Other like believers. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And this is what happened out of that fellowship. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So that was the early church. Christian fellowship is a key. Let's go back. Christian fellowship is a key aspect of the Christian life. Believers in Christ are to come together in love, faith, and encouragement. That is the essence of koinonia. The verse that I just read a little bit ago. The results of all this. They were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. They had direction. They pursued holiness. Let's go to chapter 2 of Philippians. I know Marcus read that this morning. Thank you, Marcus, for reading that. I told him about that when I was out back here, and he said, well, he gives me permission to use it again. Philippians chapter 2. Marcus read the first, what did you read? First 5-7 verses? Excuse me. I have verse 1 and 2 here, and I'm going to read it in the NLT. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And as I read that, and as I pondered on that, as I was studying, I had to ask myself, where am I at with my fellowship with the Spirit, with the Father? Do I love the brotherhood? Something that came to mind as I was pondering this. If I have a brother or sister that's going to be blamed for something, maybe they're going through a trial. Do I love my brothers and sisters enough that I'm going to stand for them? If my fellowship is with the Father and it's alive, I'm going to stand with my brothers and sisters. And I'm going to be a blessing. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Walking in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. They were a community. They were devoted to fellowship, to mutual encouragement, towards knowing, following, and worshiping God as one family. Not only was there personal intimacy with God, not only was there personal intimacy with God, but their love for each other was becoming stronger. Maybe we should say it became contagious. Maybe that's what should happen. It becomes contagious. When my love for another person is continuing to grow, I will do all I can to protect that person, as I talked about before. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he said he's part of a discipleship group. And their pastor told him, when you're sitting together at this table and you're discussing discipleship, you're discussing the Word of God, the person across the table from you has the rights to dig into your life, whatever he wants to. That's also part of fellowship. That's also part of fellowship. Where I open myself to a brother or a sister and vice versa, where we can look into each other's lives. There's a word called transparency. That is a difficult word, isn't it? I don't really like somebody to see in the depth of who I am sometimes. And I'm guessing it's the same for you. But that's how we gain victory. When we become vulnerable and we open ourselves to a brother or sister, and we can find victory in our Christian walk because we're willing to do that. So what should this fellowship look like today? Let me read a couple of verses out of 1 John again. 1 John 4:11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." We're fellowshipping with the Father, and because we fellowship with the Father, we have fellowship that goes this way amongst our brothers and sisters. I'm going to read again out of Philippians. I think this might be some of the same verses. But I want to focus on a specific verse in here. Draw some things out of one verse. We're going to go back to Philippians 2 again. I'm going to read that in the King James. "If there be any, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." And this next verse is the verse that I want to really focus on for just a bit here. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." The word humility comes out of this verse. I'm not going to lift myself up higher than my brother. I'm not going to have the idea that my brother or my sister is lower than me. But I'm going to esteem them as higher than I am. And through this, we have fellowship. When I place myself at a place that is higher than my brother or my sister, and we have communion, and we wash feet, does that fit? See, we practice communion, or we practice washing feet here at communion. And it's easy for us to look at that as, yeah, that's something that was done in the Bible, and we're doing it because it's something we need to do. It's culture. But I believe there's something that's a whole lot deeper than that. It's putting me in the place where I'm willing to esteem my brother or sister as higher than myself. Verse 4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Talking there about, maybe I should say, looking out for each other. And then we have an example that I'd like for us to look at really quick. And that's in the rest of these verses here in Philippians 2. It says, "Who let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." What an example. "And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." When love and humility are absent, so is true fellowship. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke," or that means to motivate, "unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." That's the verse I want to leave us with this morning. Considering each other. That's also part of fellowship, where we motivate each other. We encourage each other to be faithful. It says, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." So this morning, I guess I'm at the place where I want to open myself up to you as a brotherhood. I want to walk with Christ in a way that honors and glorifies him, because it's not about Lynn, but it's about Christ. Proverbs 27:17, I'm going to add another verse in here real quick. It says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." There's pain in that, but it's what we need if we're going to have fellowship. Fellowship with the Father first, and then fellowship with our brothers and sisters. To me, that's exciting. I remember a time when somebody walked into our congregation here, and I'm not sure exactly what the comment was, but the comment had to do with they could sense something good was going on. That's my desire to see happen, continue to happen here at Calvary Chapel, where there's a spirit of holiness amongst each one of us here. But it's not going to happen by Lynn preaching. But it's going to happen individually in our lives as we get on our knees before the Father and we seek his face. And he blesses us with peace and so much good here in this life. And then when we come to death's door, we step across. We realize it was all worth it. Would you stand this morning as we pray? God, we are so thankful this morning for your goodness, your love to us. Lord, we're thankful that you didn't step away and leave us alone, but you promised that what you started, you're going to finish. I pray, Lord, that my fellowship with you would be a sweet fellowship. And for each one of us, the same here. And Lord, that our fellowship with each other would be upbuilding, would be the type of fellowship where we would open ourselves up to you and to each other. And Lord, whatever it takes for us to walk in a way that glorifies your precious name. Thank you that it's not about us, but that it's all about you. Help us to pursue holiness through you. We honor you this morning, and we bless your name. Go with us this week. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see you in so many different ways as we live life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.